20. And trust you have your Bibles there. The reason why you have a Bible is because you like to make notes in your Bible. You like to underline things and you like to look at things in your Bible. And I find scriptures are wonderful. I don't know about you. Scriptures are really empowering. And they give us a song to sing and things. Do you ever remember times in your life when you learned some scripture to song? Where you had actually scriptures that you sang to music? And I can remember many years ago going to a full gospel men's breakfast in Ottawa, and we had a speaker there, and he told us to open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He told us the scriptures, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I don't know if anybody's ever read that scripture, but he started singing that scripture to us. He started singing the song that goes along with it. "We are the righteousness of God in him. We are the righteousness of God in him. For he who knew no sin became sin for us. We are the righteousness of God in him." So when you get singing the scriptures, you remember your scriptures a lot easier when you have a song, so that when you go through the week, during the week or whatever, "We are the righteousness of God in him. We are the righteousness of God in him. For he who knew no sin became sin for us. We are the righteousness of God in him." Amen. And so at the end of this service, we're going to sing some song to this scripture here, which may give you some comfort and something to take home with you. But isn't this a beautiful verse? And you have to really understand where Paul is when he brings this verse of scripture to light to the church of Galatia. But I think it kind of encapsulates everything imperfectly in there. And I know that we're not supposed to say me, myself, and I. We're supposed to talk about others and Jesus first and all that. But Paul, I underlined the word "I" in here and the word "me" in there to show you what he's saying in reference to himself of what he has in Christ. And sometimes we need to be reminded of the things that you and I have in Christ. So here it is. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You may want to underline the "I" and "me" in your verse of scripture, because I think it's very important, because so often we're told not to think about "I." We think of the devil when he said, "I will lift myself up. I will be like the Most High God. I will ascend." And he started putting "I" in there, and we realize that that's a very dangerous place to be. When it comes to the place that you are in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power that you have in Jesus Christ, we are blessed. And so I think that Paul was trying to get this across. Let me read this again. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Thank God. Beautiful portion of scripture. Imagine Jesus exchanges you and I for something else. He took all of our sin, all of our terribleness in life, everything that we have done wrong, and he's cast it in the sea as far as the east is from the west. I started thinking about verses like this, and Paul had to realize that, you know, a lot of people were probably not embracing these kinds of words, but Paul had to get them across to let them understand what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you and I are blessed to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And the more I read verses like this, and the first thing that comes to my mind is, are we worth that much to God? It makes me really wonder, am I worth that much to God that he would die on my behalf? Do we rate the Son of God dying on our behalf? Who are we that God should consider us that much? And I went to Psalm chapter 8, verse 3. It says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him?" Then I went over to Titus, and I read this, "Jesus who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people." You know, when I read verses like this, I understand that God must love us an awful lot. God must love us an awful lot. I don't know about you, but I just kind of feel that when I read these things and realize that God loves us so very much. So if you're here today and you don't feel loved, realize that Jesus died upon the cross. He died for you and me. He must love us an awful lot. That's something for you and I to take home today and really have in our hearts. I like what David said in Psalm 139, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And as Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 2, that we are a peculiar people. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And the New King James Version, the old King James says peculiar people. So when I read in Galatians that Paul says it so nicely, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Gave himself for me. Do you understand it all? I don't. It's hard to fathom for me how God, who made this, loves me. The stars, everything, creation, beautiful earth that you and I are on, how he made it all, and he loves us so very much. What a beautiful portion of scripture that is. And I started thinking about the exchange that you and I have, and I had to go to that word exchange, and I looked at it. The definition of exchange is the act of giving or taking one thing in return for another. It's a trade-off. Isn't that beautiful how, you know, Webster's got it right. There's a trade-off here. Jesus stepped in our place, took our sins. He died in our place. We should have been on the cross. We should have died. We should have been whipped. We should have been hung there. We should have been disgraced. We should have gone through all the pain and all the agony. But Jesus took it for you and I. It was a trade-off. I think he got the rotten part of the deal, don't you? You know, we kind of got let off the hook. But it's the act or process of substituting one thing for another, the reciprocal giving and receiving, something offered, given, or received in an exchange. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You know, when we give our lives to Jesus, we are, in a sense, spiritually saying to Jesus, take control of my life. Take control of my life. And we need to sometimes get rid of our hands on our life because we sure mess up a lot of things of what we do in life. I don't know about you, but I, you know, yesterday when I forgot to say, go ahead and kiss the bride, you know, I thought, God, I messed up, you know. We mess up all the time, don't we? And that's probably light to what a lot of things we do in this world that we mess up in. But as I thought about Jesus, you know, when you give your heart to Jesus, say, come into my life, take over my life, I give control of my life. And from that very moment, it should now show that what we walk in this world is that we're no longer in control. That's the representative we are in this world. Because when people look at us, they look at us and say, I see something different in you. Yeah, because it's no longer me living in here. It's Jesus. I accepted Jesus into my heart and my life. It's no longer me doing all the things. I gave him the control of my life. He's ordaining my steps. He's telling me what to do. I listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and write down things when he tells me to write them down. I'm walking after him. I want to be like Jesus. I want to know everything he wants me to be. I like his plans and purposes for my life. I want to find out what they are. I want to know what the will of God is for my life. And so I'm pursuing him. Amen. So that's what happens when we come to that place of giving our very life over to Jesus. Take control of my life. And it's not easy, is it? But it's a new way of living. I like the chorus we used to sing many years ago. I think we started singing it in Havelock back in the 90s. But it's, I found a new life. I found a new life. If anybody asks you, what's the matter with you, my friend? Tell them that you are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized, Jesus on my mind. I found a new life. Everybody heard that song before? I found a new life. I found a new life. If anybody asks you, what's the matter with you, my friend? Tell them that you are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized, Jesus on my mind. I found a new life. Amen? That's what we've got, a new life. And we're born again. Nicodemus couldn't understand it, but we're born again. It's a new life. It's a new creation. And that's why when Paul gets us into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that he says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Eyes are different. Thinking's different. Everything's going differently in Paul's life. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ or comes to Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a whole new ball game. You're swinging a different bat. You're playing a different ball game and a golf game and everything that you want to think about in light of sports. But it's a brand new life that you have in Jesus. Jesus has control of your life. Has he got control of your life this morning? Or have you still got your hands all over your life? Yeah. Paul said many things in his letters to the churches. And as I read verses of scriptures like we had up there, maybe when you get to verses of scripture, I don't know about you, but I analyze them at times. And maybe some of the things that you read in the scripture, you've never heard of. Or maybe you just haven't heard of them yet because you're reading that verse of scripture for the first time. Maybe we struggle with putting into practice some of those things that we're reading in the Bible. And we think, well, that would be good for them, but I don't know if I could ever do that. Maybe we rejected a lot of things that we read in the Word of God because we are so far in the rut of life. Anybody ever gotten the rut of life? You get so far in the rut of life that you can't see over the ruts and you can't see the plane above you. And so you just allow the life to take you deeper and deeper into all those things. You know, I love the writings of Paul. I love the epistles that he read because as I read Paul, life in the Holy Spirit meant something to him. Life in the Holy Spirit meant a lot to him, if not everything to him. I was reading just the other day in Acts chapter 19, and a beautiful portion of scripture. Here's Paul. He's all his travels. If you've read about all the travels of Paul, everywhere he goes, he greets people. He loves on them. He brings them the Word of God. He preaches in their synagogues. He shows them the Lord Jesus Christ. He works as a tent maker. He goes in and just builds them up in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was reading in Acts chapter 19, here's Paul coming along to Ephesus, and he talks to all these disciples in Ephesus, and he's talking to them, and he said, so, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And of course, they were baptized only into John's baptism. We never even heard there is such a Holy Spirit, they said. We have not heard so much as whether there is a Holy Spirit, they said back to Paul. Well, that got Paul going. Well, you haven't heard about the Holy Spirit. Let me get down to preaching here. Let me get down to talking to you about the Holy Spirit. Because if you've got saved, you need the Holy Spirit. Because if we're going to really make a mark on this world, we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Pentecostal church said? Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit was everything to Paul. They knew nothing about Holy Spirit. But Paul believed in the deep Pentecostal experience in the Lord Jesus Christ, which truly changed people deeply and spiritually. And the truth be said, we need to start getting closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen? And asking Holy Spirit to just show us all these things that we need. It's the power of the gospel. And the power of the gospel will change us if we allow it to. Amen? When we face situations in life, I don't know about you, but I often heard that term, you know, this is above my pay grade. I don't know, when I get into some of the circumstances of life, do you ever say, this is above my pay grade? You know, Holy Spirit, what do I do now? Oh, I'm lost in this situation. I don't know about you, but I just get myself in a lot of those places in life where you just don't know what to do. And I believe that's where we really need to find the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. You know, James said, you know, if you lack wisdom, here's the simple thing that you have to do. Pray. And he will liberally give you wisdom in those situations. How many, when you got yourself into trouble, did you pray for wisdom? Or you say, what am I going to do? James tells us, pray for wisdom. When we face situations that are above our pay grade, that are far beyond us, just ask God for wisdom. Just ask God for wisdom. Pray and ask him for wisdom what to do in that situation you're in. Amen? That's simple as that. Now you can go home. Okay, you're going to stay for a while longer. Okay, so when we're faced with all those impossible situations, God, do you believe this? God can do the impossible. I love reading in the Bible when God did all kinds of amazing things. Did you read the Daily Bread today? Wow. With man, it's not possible. With God, all things are. Do you remember that verse? Good. So when we're in a situation, pray because you need wisdom. Believe that God can do the impossible. And when even you're around people that you find difficult to love, God can express his wonderful, unconditional love through you. Hallelujah. That's why John said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's a trait, that's a character, that's a fruit, that's a product, that's a way of life that God has taken control in our life. Have you ever been to the place where you just don't know what to pray? I mean, God, give me some wisdom. I'm in a situation here above my pay grade, and we go through all this. We don't even know what to pray, but that's okay. Paul gave us the answer to that as well in the scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, I don't know what to pray. That's okay. Give it to the Holy Spirit. Now, as I go through some of the things that Paul taught, he was strong in the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing. I wonder, as we go through scriptures, God, have I really got a grasp on this yet? I feel like, you know, often we read the scriptures and, man, we've got so much growing to do in our life. Because when we ask Jesus to come and live in us, and he does come into our life, it's just like Paul says in Ephesians, to know that wonderful love of Christ which passes all of our knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that beautiful? It surpasses all of our knowledge. We're being filled with all the fullness of God. How can we in this earthly body contain all that? Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. Amen? You know, I'm blessed beyond all means. I count my blessings every day. And I treasure greatly that blessing of knowing that it's a marvelous feeling of being born again and knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's got to be the top gift that we could ever be. We've been exchanged. God stood in our place. Amen. Don't you find that amazing? I do it. You know, when Jesus comes in, I no longer live, but Jesus lives in me. I'm born again. I've given my life. I've given him control. You know, it's kind of neat in a way because it takes the pressure off. You ever found that? I mean, when you trust in Jesus, you don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to fear over those things. You don't have to, you know, sit and stew all day long wondering what's going to happen. Jesus, you're in control. You're looking after it. This situation's yours. You know, and we give it to him. So we thank God that, because even as Jesus says, abide in the vine. Get in the vine. Only God can be God in our lives. So allow him to live out his divine life through you, because he's the only one that can. So let me give you some things just in closing today, in some of my first conclusions as we go along. I know you're looking at some of the pictures I've got there, and you think, this guy's nuts over dogs, isn't he? 2 weeks, Betty and I get our little doggy. You know, we went up last Saturday to see our dog. Really nice place where we're getting this dog from, a golden doodle. And we went up last Saturday, and there's 11 dogs in the litter. Wow, that poor mama. You know? 11 dogs in the litter. And anyway, we all got this opportunity to come up and see our dog before. It's only 5 weeks old last week. We can't take it home till at least 8 weeks old. But they said, invitation comes, come on up and see your dog. And so we're all up there on the Saturday morning. It's from 10:30 to 11:30. We all get there. You can see all the people that are getting this dog, all the looks on their faces. Oh, go see our dog, go see our dog. We go in there and they had this big pen where all the dogs are, and they've got collars on them. And on the website, they put a brown collar, a pink collar, a blue collar. And anyway, ours was the blue collar one, but its name will be Bailey. But anyway, we were looking around, we're looking, and all of a sudden, ours has a white patch on the top of its head, too. There he is. Reach in the pen, grab the dog, and what do we do now? We'll go outside and sit with the rest of people. So we go out with our little doggy and put him down. He's running around, licking our toes and having fun. We're with other people, and all of a sudden, he runs over there. You're chasing him all around the place, and then 11:30 comes. You have to pick up your dog and put it back. I found that torture. You've already got the dog, you played with it, and you have to put it back. You know, that was terrible. I just want to share some of the things that go on in my life. Anyway, you're probably wondering why I've got dogs all the place, because dogs are on my mind right now, okay? So please forgive me if I bark here and there in the sermon. Bark, oh, did I say bark? If I speak, yeah. Just kidding. Anyway, here's some quick things to understand what we've got in the Lord Jesus Christ, that wonderful exchange that you and I have, the born-again experience. Do you remember your life before Jesus? I sure do. Anyway, I don't want to remember all that stuff back there. But I like that phrase when Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. The old life, I am crucified. Amen. With Christ. That's the way the flesh is. And maybe what Paul is trying to allow us to see is that I was crucified when Jesus was crucified in that sense. When he died on the tree, he was dying for me. And when I finally realized that, and even while I was still a sinner, says Paul to the church of Rome, even while I was lost in sin, Jesus died for me. In other words, I had to realize that that very moment that Jesus was dying for me, I should die too. And when we come to the cross, we do die. We give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came once and for all, that all this world would understand that Jesus died for every last one of them. We don't need to have Jesus return every year, just like they did in the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement. All the nation of Israel had to go up to the tabernacle and bring a lamb, a goat, a sheep, a pigeon, a dove, whatever they would bring. They didn't have to do that because Jesus came once and for all and died for all of mankind. He doesn't have to come back every year on December 25th. He doesn't have to come back at Easter time. He doesn't have to come back on any day during this year. He came once and for all for you and I. He went to the cross. He was crucified. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, I was crucified, and I stand there with him crucified as well. Jesus was crucified, and you and I must be crucified. If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. Amen? When Jesus died on the cross, we are not allowed to come and die, not physically, but spiritually, to self. We died with him. That's why Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. We died with him. It was here that the wages of our sins, like Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that's what Paul was saying. I was crucified. All the wages of sin was done away. I had an exchange. Now I've got eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? Believers shouldn't fear death. I don't know why anybody should fear death. We've already experienced it with Jesus' death and his power over us. We shouldn't worry about death because we just get that transition into the next phase of eternity. So why fear death? Paul says the believer is dead with Christ because we are crucified with Christ. But we're also alive in Christ. The phrase, I live, in that scripture in chapter 2, verse 20 in Galatians, is in the present tense. And the life which I now live in the flesh, says Paul, I live by faith in the Son of God. So we die with Jesus, but by faith, who is raised from the dead, he's also raised us up to newness of life in the Lord Jesus. Not just now, but for eternal life. Amen? So thank God for all the blessings we have in him. So you got to realize where we are in Jesus. Realize that, I mean, every day of our lives, realize what you've got. Count your blessings. We've got Jesus. We are saved, set free. We've got a new mandate, a new mission. Everything's new in our life. A whole brand new ball game, as I said. So realize where you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then what you have in Jesus is the power of the Holy Spirit. See, Paul is quick to credit his ability, everything he does in the Christian life, to Jesus. Everything he gives glory to God. Everything that happens, he just listens for the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. He's going to follow God in all those ways. And we have that same power of the resurrection. You know, when a person is saved, death ceases to work in them, marking them as sinners. Life has now taken over. Jesus rose from the grave. We were laid to rest, the old man crucified. We were raised with Christ into a new creation. So we have experienced the power of the resurrection. We have the power of him taking up residence inside of us. That's why it says in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, the power of the Holy Spirit keeps telling us that he's going to show us, he's going to comfort us, he's going to teach us, he's going to lead us, he's going to take us into all these things in our life, and he's going to give us the power to do that. As we yield more of our lives to him, he produces more fruit in our lives. But there's something else. Resting on the provision of Christ. There's a supply of faith. When you came to Jesus, you had no supply of faith. Did you know that? Somebody had to talk to you and you probably yelled at them, said, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to hear about Jesus. Really, in a sense, you had no faith. But as the Holy Spirit worked on you, you all of a sudden realized there was a supply of faith that was being sent your way. It was like the Holy Spirit was dropping that seed of faith into your heart and life. And that's why Paul says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's the well of living water. Jesus wants us to drink from that living water. Amen. So Paul tells us that the faith given to him by Jesus is what makes life possible. Faith in Jesus makes life possible every day for you and I. God gives us the faith we need to be saved in the beginning. He gives us the faith to be saved and gives us the faith to live for him every day. When we are saved, the Holy Spirit begins to water us and give us faith for that day, the experiences that teach us more about Jesus. Faith is like a muscle, isn't it? I go all around Cornwall, and everywhere you see these workout places and these gymnasiums, everybody seems to be raising these up. I don't know what it is. Are we fat and lazy these days that we need to exercise and get everything off of us? I don't know. People are capitalizing. It's like, you know, they build more restaurants. They build more exercise places. You ever watch that? Restaurant goes up. Exercise place goes up. Is something going on here with these two places? I can't figure it out. But, you know, it's the same. Faith is like a muscle. You ever watch somebody go into the gym for the first time? Those are the ones you know the first day. They just look at all the equipment. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to start it. Where's the power button? Like, is it go? Does it work? Like, what do you do with it? They just stand there. And usually they're probably the ones that most need the exercise, too. They're standing there looking around. They don't look like they've worked out too much. You know, it's amazing. But when I see a person like that walk in there and they're kind of looking around, it's like a brand new Christian, isn't it? They come into church, they start looking around, they're looking at you and thinking, wow, okay, that's how you do it. You know, and they're taking that muscle, just like a person in the exercise place, they want to, okay, how do you do that? And they're trying to flex the muscle and everything else. We come into church, brand new Christian, and we need to say, that's how you pray. Oh, that's why that's available on Wednesday night. We're given an opportunity to come and pray. Oh, that's why we have church Sunday. Oh, that's why we do this. And they start realizing, and all of a sudden the faith starts building up. And as they watch us do all those things that we do because we've been saved for years and years and years and years, and it becomes old hat to us, they watch us because they don't know a thing about it. And they want to know. And so they come into church and they exercise their faith. And it's so good to see a brand new Christian. Aren't you glad for somebody who just gives their heart and life to Jesus because they don't know anything about anything and they just are so lost? That's why we love people that come into church. And if you ever need any teaching, you ever need any help, don't be shy and ashamed to ask, because just because we look like we've got it all together, we don't. Right? We're just practicing Christians. We're getting ready for that one day that when Jesus calls us home, we're getting ready for that one day. And none of us has it all together. We're just practicing and exercising our faith and walking the best way we can for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what Jesus wants us to do every day of our life, get closer and closer to Him. So how do we exercise our faith? People always say, how do you exercise your faith? Well, listen to this. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's how faith comes. So people say, well, I don't believe in church. Well, I don't believe in prayer. Show me a person like that 10, 20 years down the road, and I'll show you where their faith is. It's minute. It's small. It's puny. But when we come to church, exercise your faith. Get it stronger. Yeah, that's what the word says. Come in here and encourage somebody else. Pray for somebody else. Be the body of Christ. It's not just coming in here to sit and look pretty and all that and listen to the pastor spout off all morning long or lift your hands for songs. Encourage one another. That's called body ministry. Encourage. I mean, when we come in here on Sunday mornings, we get all nice and looking. And Betty comes down in the morning and says, how do I look? Do I look okay for church? Yeah, Betty, you look great every day. You know, I just tell her that. She comes down, but she wants to look her best. And people come in here looking their best, but inside something's going on that they may need some help. They may need some encouragement. They come into church because maybe this is their last hope, and so they come into church. So encourage somebody this morning. Lift them up and deal with them in their life and befriend them and do all those kinds of things, because we're supposed to do that. So faith comes by hearing. Church is important. Prayer times are important. Everything we do in the body of Christ is important. Faith comes by hearing. We share scriptures. Give a scripture to a brother or sister. Lift them up by that verse of scripture. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, we can never be a Christian without first meeting up with the Lord Jesus Christ. We rest in His provision. He's the only one that can make dead man live. He's the only one that brought Ezekiel's bones back to life. Jesus is the only one who can break sin's bondage and set us absolutely, totally free. He's the only one. Even though there's a lot of good organizations around, a lot of good psychologists and so forth all out there, but He's the only one who can break the back of bondage and set us free totally. He's the only one who can take a life that's wrecked and on the rocks, ruined and doomed by sin, and change everything by the power of His saving grace and mercy and power. You know, we could never live this Christian life apart from Christ. You can fake it all day long, but you can never live it without Christ. You've got to attach yourself to Him. You've got to be grafted in. The only way you can live as a Christian is to be in Jesus. You know, we used to sing a song that the windows of heaven are open. Blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in the heart. That's what happens when we come to the scriptures. That when we come to Jesus, the windows of heaven are open. And like God just keeps pouring on us. And as people go into church, you know, and I like what I think it was Adele said this morning. How do you feel, Adele? Oh, I couldn't be any greater. Isn't that what you said? Something like to that effect. I like when I hear people coming into church saying that. I mean, you're on top of the world in Jesus. I mean, yeah, you've got the problems, you've got all the stuff going on, life happens, but you're on top of the world in Jesus. You've got Him. Amen? Some people hear the message about Jesus, and they have a heart that's lost, and they just can't come to Jesus for some reason or other, and I always feel sorry for somebody like that, but when I see somebody come to Jesus, I thank God for the salvation, but then I see other people. They run the race for Jesus for a while, but then for one reason or another, they give up. They stop running the race. They lose the faith, or something happens to them. I don't know what it is. They stop short. They no longer have their eyes, I guess, fixed and focused upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. You take your eyes off Jesus, where are you going to be? I know. Another dog. I was reading this interesting story. I don't know if you read devotionals during the week. I read several devotionals. I like different aspects of them and different things that they, you know, you read five devotionals, you get five different thoughts, and all of a sudden you've got a sandwich, a smorgasbord of a buffet of good things coming your way. And as I go through my day, I sometimes find that's for this moment, and that's for that moment. And so I read about five or six devotionals every day, and they really encourage me. But I was in one that we get online, Betty and I. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Greg Laurie from California, evangelist, pastor, really great fella. But he was—he has a devotional, and I was reading this, and it's a story that just kind of points this out perfectly. Let me just give it to you because it's perfect. The story goes about this courageous Christian. He was standing before a king one day who wanted him to renounce Christ. He wanted him to deny Christ. And the king threatened this man, this Christian man. He says, if you don't do it, I'll banish you. And the Christian replied, you can't banish me from Christ. He says he will never leave me nor forsake me. The king said, I will confiscate all your property and take it all from you. The Christian said, my treasures are laid up in heaven where you cannot get them. The king says, then I will kill you. And the Christian answered, I've been dead for 40 years. I'm crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. As I read that, I said, thank you, Jesus. Perfect for Sunday. I'll kill you. It's okay. I died 40 years ago. When did you die? When did you give your heart to Jesus? Maybe you're still too alive in the flesh. I don't know. We have to die to Jesus. Could the worship team come, please? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. Isn't that a good scripture? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to go to this one, Monty. I saw this song a little while ago. Rob and Mark took a portion of Scripture and put it to music, and it's so beautiful. And it goes like this. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in
Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Isn't that beautiful? Portion of scripture to a song. And as you sing that, you realize what Paul was talking about. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you're not close to Jesus this morning, all it takes is a prayer. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all it takes is asking him. He delights to come in and take up residence in a new life. He delights to come in and bless us and minister to us and walk with us and go through all those things that are above our pay grade in life, all those situations that you and I get ourselves in. And to realize that, you know, when we come to Jesus Christ, I've been crucified with Christ. What a blessing it is to know that we're no longer walking by ourselves. We're no longer putting our hands on our own life. Jesus is with us every step of the way. Thank God.
I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yes, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Such a beautiful portion of scripture, so simple, but so profound as well, so deep that you and I can experience this life every day that we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was saying, God, what would you have us to speak about this summer? And I feel the Holy Spirit was just telling me to go back to some of the very basic things, some of the very deep truths that Paul was getting across to those churches, because everywhere he went, some were new. Some were Jewish theologians who thought they knew everything. Some were in those congregations that had never heard. Some had been there for perhaps years. And as he went in there, he just refreshed them in those things. And maybe this summer months, you need some refreshing in some of these basic things that you and I have in Jesus, and to be reminded of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with him. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Father, thank you so much for this day, for this morning, for this truth. Thank you when Paul went to the church at Galatia. He just brought this by the power of the Holy Spirit. He felt prompted to say these things to them. He felt prompted to bring back and reminded them of some very basics, but some very great things that every one of us need to have in our lives. So God, I pray that this message would mean something to somebody here today. if not all of us, this message, this portion of Scripture would go deep into the heart of somebody's life here today, that not only this song would touch them about the Scripture, but the Scripture would touch them and they would be able to use it as a weapon against the enemy, because the enemy lies to us so often. To be able to say in the face of the enemy, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The enemy has to flee when he hears a verse of Scripture like that, because we're attached to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, Father, go with us today. Bless us. Let us understand afresh today that you love us that very much, that you died upon a cross. God, we're overwhelmed by that truth, but you must love us so very much. We're so appreciative of your love. We love you in return. And thank you for this day. Go with us now, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.